Let's do it. Let's rock it.
Let's do it.
Kicking chickens.
Kicking chickens? How's that?
Yeah, but not actually kicking
chickens. Hey, everybody,
chickens.
I'm
Don't at me, PETA.
Do not kick any chickens. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, trying, as we always do on this podcast, to make today make sense.
And I'm not going to lie, we barely are. I'm Molly. Thanks for joining us. It's What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, the day in the week where we get to answer your questions. Our favorite day.
It's funny, you know. It is kind of their favorite day, except for Fridays. But I really like the Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday thing because, and this is going to sound terrible, but they're easy days, right? I mean, Tuesday mornings we do the deep dive, right? Tuesday afternoons we basically have off after doing our other shows. And then on Wednesdays, we just answer some questions after doing our other shows, which is, you know, which is good.
Yeah, we've really accidentally put together the best schedule.
We kind of did. And also, we have beer on Fridays. Anyway,
and then beer.
Joe in Maryland talking about, life is good. Joe in Maryland talking about ransomware. Here's what he wants to know. Do you know, he asks us, if individual residential users are also at risk, or is it only businesses that are ransomware targets? Really good question in this interconnected age.
Definitely. I mean, listen, what any cybersecurity expert would tell you at this point is that it's actually all about your threat matrix. If you, normal human with, medium income, but crappy security practices are concerned that you personally are going to be the target of a ransomware attack, it's relatively unlikely, right? All of us are at risk of something. It depends on what kind of data you are storing. If you work in a sensitive industry and somebody might want to steal your information or the information of your company, that raises your threat level. If you are, let's say, incredibly wealthy and have access to important information that may or may not be part of your personal network, your threat level starts to go up. You know, it really is sort of like dependent on who you are and what you do. Ransomware attacks apparently did start out as a problem for individuals, but like most things, hackers started following the money to businesses and government agencies who can pay more, because at some point individuals might just not be worth the trouble, shall we say. But that doesn't mean that hackers don't get to the companies and business and government agencies through you and me, which we referred to in our episode yesterday with Bob Latif. So the easiest way to get into a system is through the one person who's not paying attention, or as is the scenario in all of our cybersecurity training videos, picks up that USB drive off the floor, off the ground in the parking lot, and just plops it right into
Is this a good idea?
Computer.
A, yes. B, no. It must be absolutely terrifying right now to be an IT supervisor of any kind, because you just never know. Right?
And you're all of a sudden,
yeah.
And a moron at home, right? With potentially a wide open Wi-Fi network. Like, most people don't change the password on their routers, and everybody's using every old device, right? Anything to connect. Yeah, you should definitely do that. Most likely it's admin. And the password is passwords. log in and change that sucker. Everybody's using personal devices. Like, the data landscape is just out of control right now. I can imagine every IT person is just having palpitations constantly.
No joke.
Guys, don't use the same password over and over. Don't do it. Just get LastPass or DashPass, any one of them, or Dashlane. The password, anyway, all the password hygiene stuff is everywhere. Please do it, though, for your sake and your company's sake. Our next question comes from Twitter. Christine added me and said, when will we see some relief on China tariffs? And I was like, well, I'm not in charge of that, but what a great question for Wednesday.
But I know just the place to go. The short answer is, not anytime soon. We had Catherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative, on Marketplace a month, 6 weeks ago, and I basically asked her that question, and she said, no, we're good for a while. We're good. We want to see China improve its behavior. We have a lot of issues with the Chinese, and we want them to know we're serious. And look, I've said this before on this podcast, and I've said it before, I think, on Marketplace. People say, lots of things about Donald Trump, but one of the things that you have to give him credit for is that he is the one who took China seriously as an economic threat and actually did something about it. Now, he did it in kind of a haywire way, but those tariffs are sticking around because the Biden administration wants the Chinese to know that the United States is serious about its behavior on technology transfer and intellectual property and all of those things. So they're staying.
Yep.
They're staying for a good long while. Tai says she's reviewing things, but yeah, no.
Nah, they're staying. Because one of the things the Wall Street Journal reported is that although, yes, let's be clear, the cost of the tariffs was borne by U.S. companies and consumers. However, at this point, those costs have been essentially baked in, and the effect of those tariffs was to, in fact, lead to a sharp decline, according to the Wall Street Journal, in Chinese imports and significant changes in the types of goods Americans buy from China. And that's according to data in May. And so that, in terms of an economic tool, that has punished China. Now, no, it hasn't led to a boom in reshoring and American manufacturing, as was promised during the Trump administration. However, I think all the supply chain disruptions of the last year and a half will probably push that even harder than these tariffs ever would have.
For sure.
But they have had the intended effect of diversifying the American economy away from just China, and that punishes China. And there is no way headed into midterm elections that the Biden administration is going to make a move that makes life easier for China. Not happening.
Absolutely. And just one super quick item on the news on this, right? So Trump got America, broadly speaking, to pay attention to China as an economic threat. And I'm sure you saw yesterday in the news that the Senate passed the Innovation and Competition Act, which is specifically designed to counter China's growing dominance in things like AI and manufacturing and technology and all those kinds of things. So this is a very live issue. And Molly's point about the elections is absolutely right. It's not happening before 2022, for sure.
Yep. Also, that bill passing is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's great.
The tech, much money for tech development and research that's just decades overdue in this country. Yep. Great.
Yep. Okay. So California Governor Gavin Newsom this week picked the first couple of winners of the state's vaccine lottery. I sadly was not there, which is kind of a bummer.
Same.
In that list of winners. I know. I was pretty confident going in. Anyway, here's a question coming to us in a voice memo.
I had a question about the state lottery incentives for COVID vaccines. I think it's a great idea to get people to get vaccinated, but who pays for these incentives? I love the show. Make me smart. Thank you.
Godfrey from San Francisco. That was a good question.
I know.
So the short answer is taxpayers. The longer answer is it's going to be federal taxpayers, not just California, because there's a bunch of federal money coming in COVID relief. But yeah, the money comes from taxpayers. That's just kind of the way those lotteries
work. Yeah. Godfrey, if you were wondering if it was you, it's you. But I will say it is a fairly small amount of money all in.
Yeah. Oh,
it
is,
you know, relatively speaking, it's $116 million coming out of the state's general fund. Evidently, the state of California, at least, has had way higher revenues, tax revenues, than anticipated, partly because all that free money led to all these IPOs, and it was just like a boom for California. Yeah. But they're going to end up using those federal relief funds. I was surprised to see in our notes, thank you, Marissa and co, that the program, the $116 million, and this seems like a bad idea, is three times more than what Newsom's budget proposes to spend on surge capacity for this year's wildfire season. Projected to be historic. Like, we're in a super bad drought. So maybe that could also go up as long as we have some extra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's nutty. Holy cow.
All right. And then we have a bonus question before we go. I will say, actually, my aunt and uncle were just here from Montana, and they were completely among the crowd of people that we were talking about that we said that these incentives could reach. And also that FOMO could reach, that sort of fear of missing out.
Yep.
My aunt was like, we were hesitant at first because I remember her saying to my mom months ago, like, we're not going to get it. She's like, I'm not going to get the vaccine. And she said, we were the people who were like, we were hesitant at first and then we got it. And now we're fully vaccinated.
Hmm.
There's plenty, plenty of people out there who, in another political environment, have what could be considered totally reasonable fears about a brand new medical technology, who then are like, oh, okay, sure, I'll come around.
Yeah.
So, like, be willing to give people, like, just one minute before you jump all over them. All right, one more question, the bonus round before we go. This one comes from Shislif, which I, like, can't help but feel is almost a bad word. Shislif, who posted
almost
on our fan Discord last week saying,
yeah, buddy.
Do Kai and Molly usually continue drinking after the live stream, I wonder?
So the reality is that it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon by the time we get off the live stream. I've had a beer sometimes too, although that's been a while. I usually try to give myself an hour before I have my next beer after that. So I'll start again at 5.
So yeah, I would say, if I were to roll all the way through for the rest of the night.
No.
I mean, that's just the 8 o'clock bedtime, which frankly does happen on some Fridays.
Which is okay sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes, which is just fine. But yeah. But yeah, no, I don't usually roll from that into like a whole party day.
Yeah.
But thanks for asking.
That's a good one. It's a good one.
It is. I know. By the way, if you don't know about the fan Discord, check the easiest place to find it is possibly the Make Me Smart page. Potentially also, I have been trying to tweet it on Fridays. You should definitely check it out, and because you can chat along live with the YouTube live stream during that Friday show, if you're not familiar. And the community there is amazing. They've created like multiple channels for all kinds of topics, including the Ever Given. Bless them.
Oh, good grief. Oh, good.
And Tony Wagner says, by the way, it will be in the show notes today.
Excellent. Thank you, Tony. All right. So that's we're a little early on the close of What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, but that's fine. Back tomorrow. In the meanwhile, keep sending us your questions, emails, voice memos. We should definitely get some kind of like actual phone lineup so people can use the phone app on their phones if they wanted to. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org is how you can reach us. And please do.
That's right. Please do. Keep it coming. You're the smart ones, people.
That's right.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. That's how he's going to make sure it's in the show notes. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and our Make Me Smart explainers.
Diana Squalacci engineered today. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. Donna Tam is the senior producer. But as those few of you who listen to the end of the podcast know, Bridget Bodner is on her way back very, very slowly into the senior producer seat. She's working on another thing, which drops like soon, like in 2 weeks, right?
It does, and it's so great. It's so good. And don't worry, Donna's not going anywhere. Donna has gotten a baller promotion. Probably not. That's probably embargoed too, but you know, who's listening?
I saw there was an email. There was an email. Also, who's listening? That's right.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.